Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you're outside right now, it's a brisk 13 degrees, I think it was when I came in, and which was warmer here than it was at my house. I think I was about 7 or 8 degrees when I left my house. I'm trying to think what it was. Maybe it was 8. But it was like breaking news. We hit 33 degrees at our house briefly today. I don't know how long it was there. I don't think it was long, but we actually topped above freezing, not just hit the freezing point, but 1 degree above, however brief that was. But it was nice today to feel a little bit of warmth relative to what we've had for the last 17 days. And it's kind of nice in that respect. But I hope wherever you're at, you're staying warm. And tomorrow's supposed to be warming up, breaking the freezing point. And by the end of the week, all this snow and everything ought to be gone between the warm temperatures and the rain and stuff that's supposed to come on off on this week. We should be cleared up, and maybe by this time next week, all of this will be but a chilly memory. But in the meanwhile, I hope you stay warm. There's some icy patches on the roads because, the sun was out and some spots where some snow was melting. And if you're not careful, there's a few spots on the roads where, that water has frozen over. And, so it's easy to get complacent. It's still wintertime in northeastern Ohio, after all. And what a fun day it was driving on Friday, coming into the station here for our Friday afternoon program. And I arrived early on Friday because I knew the roads were bad, so I allowed extra time. And I actually got here about, it must have been 10 till 1, and our Friday afternoon program starts at 1:30, and Pastor John Lutz, pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church, he has a program at 1 o'clock until 1:30, just before us, called For the Cause of Christ, and he saw me coming in the parking lot, and he texted me, and he said, since you're here, you might as well come on and join me on the radio. So he let me in out of the cold, and I joined him on the radio last Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and we had a nice conversation back and forth, and then at 1:30, when it was time for our program to come on, I asked Pastor Lutz to stay with us, and so he stayed for our program at 1:30. So basically, both of us had an hour from 1 o'clock until 2 o'clock. If you did not get a chance to hear that, I do have it online. In fact, I did get our website updated so that, I'm just checking it just to make sure right now. But yes, last Friday, or up to date, up until last Friday, with the radio programs online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you'll not only be able to listen to some past programs there, both our Friday programs and both hours of our Sunday programs, but there's a number of other things there. There's some articles that I have written, links to them. There's some links to some word searches that we've put together, and a variety of other things, some comments on some things, and various links that we have at livewithpastoral.com, including a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, in Richfield, Ohio, where I am the pastor, and certainly invite you to come out and visit us. On the radio on Friday, I said, yes, we still have our Friday night Bible study planned, but if the roads are bad, don't feel that you got to come out and visit us on this Friday night. I'll understand. I live fairly close to the church, or well, to the, where the church meets, I should say. And my wife and I got there, and yeah, it was pretty snowy, slippery conditions, and we weren't sure if we were going to have anybody. And so there are two of us there, and then a couple more people showed up after a bit and doubled our attendance, so we can actually say our attendance doubled. And we went online, and we had a good number of people joining us online for our Friday night Bible study. What we do on Friday night is that we have a Rumble broadcast, and you can go on rumble.com if you're not familiar with it. It's a great alternative to YouTube. On YouTube, it seems like every about once or twice a month, it seems like lately, we get a notification from YouTube that yet another one of our church broadcasts has been deleted for YouTube for some dumb reason or another. One time we were deleted for spreading medical misinformation, because we told about something that was going on in the Samoan Islands in December of 2019 with a measles epidemic, and we told why it happened, and we gave the reasons for the people that caused it to happen, the reasons that they gave that caused it to happen, and then we refuted those reasons. Well, we got cited for spreading medical misinformation because we gave the reasons that the people gave for, that caused the vaccine, and then we refuted them. You know, we gave them so we could say, this is what they said, this is why it's wrong. And because we said, this is what they said, they banned, they deleted our video. So that happens to us periodically on our YouTube videos for our church. So on Rumble, just go to rumble.com, and it's /user/RitchfieldBBC. /live, or I think if you just put in there, search for Richfield BBC or Richfield Bible Baptist Church, you ought to be able to find us and find our Friday night Bible study videos there. And eventually we hope to get our church services over there as well. Currently we're on YouTube, and you can go to YouTube and search for Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and that should hopefully find us there at YouTube. And then you can see our services there as well. But eventually, like I said, I'd like to get us all the way over to Rumble for all of our services. It's a much better platform and a much freer free speech platform than what YouTube is. But in the meanwhile, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. You can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, at that website as well. And you can learn more about our church too. We'd love to have you visit sometime. And even if you can't visit us in person, check us out online, and certainly pray for us. Let's see. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we've got several people already waiting. Our phone number, of course, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get to our callers here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. Pray that you would bless tonight and use the program for your glory. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ, and help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you for the opportunity. Use us for your glory, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. As I said, our phone number is 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And we're going to start tonight with Cheryl calling in. And Cheryl, welcome to the program this evening.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Al. It's good to be on with you. And
good evening, yes.
I am sitting here with my young friend who's in his first year of college, and we've been talking about the bill, you know, that's overriding the veto that's coming up this week. And
oh, the SAFE Act, right?
Pardon?
The SAFE Act?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yes.
And just as far as the whole concept of, you know, the abortion on demand, no parental permission, no mm-hmm. arrangement. Same thing with transgender, you know, no lower age limit, no parents needed, and the transgender females in sports. And so my question is, if you were talking to someone of his age group and you needed, and I'm asking maybe a best, very short, maybe 30 seconds to 1 minute, you know, like your opinion, your what you would like to tell a person of that age, why this is not a good idea to have those be, you know, why the veto should be overridden, but putting it in the context of the actual you know, content, why you would not want those to occur for our country.
All right.
What would be a good concise way of stating that to someone his age?
All right. And actually, before I answer that, this just what I'm thinking about here before I forget, do be in prayer for the Ohio Senate this Wednesday. This coming Wednesday is the vote in the Senate to override Governor DeWine's veto of House Bill 68, the SAFE Act. The House already voted to override the veto. They went first because it started in the House, and now this Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, will be the Senate's turn, and the Senate has to vote to override it as well before the veto is overridden. I'm planning on being down there in Columbus myself, along with Chris Long, President of Ohio Christian Alliance, and we're hoping to meet up with a number of other people. I met up with a number of people, Dan Wolven, who used to be here in the Cleveland area. He is down in Columbus now working with Awake Ohio and Ohio Value Voters. And we met with some of the people, those citizens, was Citizens for CCV, I guess, it, Citizens for Conservative Values or something like that. But anyway, Aaron Baer, that's the guy. We met with a number of them and some others down in Columbus for the House vote, but the Senate vote's coming up. So pray for us and pray for the Ohio Senate members. And if you have not, contact your senator in Columbus and urge him or her to vote to override the governor's veto. The governor's put a lot of pressure on these people to not override his veto, and he has some ways that he can twist arms and cajole people. He's trying to keep it from being overridden, and there's also a lot of spiritual pressure on these people, on our Senate, and this is the last one. This vote, if this vote goes through and they override the governor's veto, then you know the SAFE Act will take place in 90 days. So all of that was in addition to your question, Cheryl. I just wanted to
Yeah, that's good to put that in there. How urgent?
Yeah, so it's very urgent, and pray. And again, a reminder, if you contact your senator and urge them to vote to override the governor's veto, and your senator does vote to override the veto, then contact them later and thank them for doing that. It means a lot to them. My representative, Bill Romer, voted to override the veto in the House when the House met to do that. I had contacted him to urge him to vote to override the veto, and then I contacted him afterwards and thanked him. I actually got a personal phone call from my representative thanking me for thanking him, and it gave me an opportunity to talk to him about some other things that are coming up. But so that's something. Don't forget to not only contact them, but then thank them after they have voted the way you asked them to. So, all right. Well, Cheryl, getting back to your question about the SAFE Act, having me put it in 30 to 60 seconds is sometimes a challenge, but I like to go off sometimes on tangents. But the big thing with the SAFE Act is that it protects children from being manipulated and led into actions that are really irreversible when you think about it. even something as innocuous as the hormone treatments, treating with the opposite sex hormones, and even worse, the puberty blockers. These things, we still do not know the effects that that's going to have on these children as they grow up and become adults. We already know enough right now that some of the effects is infertility. Some of the effects can be other complications of other types of illnesses and cancers and things of that nature. But basically, in a nutshell, we do not allow children to get their ears pierced without parental permission, right? Mm-hmm. Why should we then allow children to irrevocably change their bodies through drugs and surgeries without parental permission? And that probably, to me, is one of the strongest things right there from the practical side of it. And then the other thing is, the Bible plainly tells us that God created us male and female in the image of God. And he created us the way we are for a reason. And then to suddenly decide that God made a mistake and we have to change it, that really is an attack upon God. So from the spiritual standpoint, the devil's always trying to attack the image of God. We're created in the image of God. And when he can cause somebody to deform or otherwise alter, and I'm not talking about getting your ears pierced or something like that, but I'm talking about, in some way, to alter in a negative sense the human body. And that's what you're doing with the same sex, the transgender surgeries, the transgender drug therapies and all that, is you're trying to force the body to become something that it is not. And that's an attack upon the image of God, as well as a biological impossibility. Everybody that is male has an XY chromosome complement that makes them male, and everybody that's female has an XX chromosome complement that makes them female. No amount of hormone therapy, no amount of puberty blockers, no amount of cutting off perfectly healthy body parts is going to change that. And so therefore, you're condemning a child to a lifetime of medical and even possible surgical interventions from time to time to either keep the body forced into an unnatural condition, or if the person gets older and decides to detransition, still to correct the ongoing lingering effects. Chloe Cole talked about that magnificently in her testimony in the Ohio House and the Senate in regards to supporting the SAFE Act, about how she, even though she's detransitioning, she's going to spend her life under medical care dealing with what was done to her as a child, when her parents and her were basically conned into this whole procedure. And so those are some of the things that I would say. And plus, if you care for children, maybe you could boil it down this way. If you care for children, a child that's put into the transgender pipeline for the puberty blockers, the hormones therapy, and then eventually the surgical procedures, that child is 19 times more likely to commit suicide than the child that receives just counseling. In fact, the majority of the children who receive counseling later come to grips with their biological sex, and there's no problems later in life. But, you know, this is irreparable, irreversible damage that's being done to children, and we don't even know the full ramifications and effects down the road yet.
Right, so. And I just thought of this while we were talking here, and that another one is this is a children group. They don't come up with these ideas on their own. You know, like when I was growing up, nobody ever heard of these things, and children don't come up with them on their own. People are telling them and grooming them and allowing them to mentally transition, like
yes.
in the school. And I think that's actually another important point, is they aren't coming up with the idea on their own.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there are people who advocate that we should start working with children from the moment they're able to talk. So think about how young some people learn to start talking first begin to talk. As soon as they begin to talk, they should be talked to by pediatricians and counselors and all to find out if they're comfortable in their gender.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, a 3 or 4 year old, a 2 year old doesn't know what their gender really is. It certainly doesn't understand it, let alone to be able at as a toddler. Can you imagine a toddler being able to say, I think I really should be a boy, even though I'm a girl, you know, as a toddler, changing their whole life. But yet we won't let a child enter into a contract, a legal contract, until they turn at least 18. But yet we're going to let a toddler tell us, oh, what their life is going to be like, and decide their life as a toddler. Good grief. If I did that when I was a toddler, I would have ruined my life many times over.
They don't even have a question. They didn't even pose a question.
Yeah.
About, yeah. So. Well, I think that's an important, I mean, I could have picked any age group, and of course we always want our own. But I think it's important to, since he was sitting here, this would be a good time to ask and target that age group.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, there's several things that I threw out there. I mean, you know, each one of them, some people will react more to the biological side of it. Some people might react more to the theological side of it, or the practical side of it.
That's what you appeal to. And he actually is going to be taking biology this term.
Very good. I was a biology major myself, so
I know. Yes, you were. Yep.
But talking about it, one more thing I can throw out. There's actually a disorder called body identity integrity disorder, and that's where somebody comes to the conclusion that their leg doesn't belong to them, or they should be paralyzed in a wheelchair, or their arm doesn't belong to them, or maybe they should even be blind or deaf, and they will ask doctors to cut off the offending limb, or to blind them, or to make them deaf. And doctors don't go, oh, okay, well, if that's the way you feel you ought to be, we want you to be happy, let's lop those legs off right now. Let's blind you right now. No, they say, wait a minute, that's not right. It's not, there's something wrong here. We need to get some counseling and figure out why you have these distorted perceptions of reality. But when it comes to biological, you know, male or female body parts that are perfectly healthy, all of a sudden the doctors say, well, that's right, let's just get rid of them right now. Let's make them inoperable right now. Something's wrong with the doctor.
Yeah. Well, and the other, you know, just talking about how you address what's going on, you know, and in somebody's fear and mind and whatever, and that is, as in many things that come up here, with all of this discussion, it can boil down, you know, like in the culture and politically, as it's part of the agenda.
Right.
Part of the agenda to destroy God's most beautiful creation, with whom he has pleasure in their relationship, in whom they want to carry out his plan for life, that's the agenda.
Yeah. Well, the Bible says we're created for his pleasure. And so you think about that. If the devil can come along and mar the image of God in some fashion, distort it, you know, it takes away the pleasure that God created us for. It's just like I had a friend of mine when I was in the Air Force who was an artist, and he liked to do paintings. In fact, I've got one in my living room right now that he gave me, and he enjoyed doing art just because he liked the creative process. And then when he was done, he liked to admire it and see what he had done. So what happens if let's say that he went to all the effort to paint this painting, and somebody came in with a can of paint and just splashed it all over it? It takes away the joy of what he created. And that's what the devil's doing. He's trying to take away God's joy in us that he created.
And prevent God's work in our lives.
Yeah. And And so there's a lot of other things going on as well. But it's because we're in a spiritual battle. We fight against spiritual wickedness in high places.
And that's where it all is.
Yeah. So
very good.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope that helps out.
Yep. Yeah, that was great. Thank you so much, Pastor Al.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate that. Appreciate the call. And biology is a good thing, but I was talking to somebody recently that wants to study biology, and I said, you know, one of the things you ought to do, check out the Institute for Creation Research online and get some good Bible-based background on biology as well as you go into studying biology at college. But you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and our phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy waiting patiently for us tonight as well. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Good evening, yes.
Thank you. Now, my question tonight is concerning, very famous verse, 1 Corinthians 14:34.
Okay.
Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the Lord. And then verse 35, and if they learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate, pretend like I'm a woman's liver. Now, Pastor Al, it doesn't say specifically in this verse that, isn't it a leap of logic to say, women can't be women pastors. What if a church does not have any men that are willing to be the pastor? Wouldn't it be okay for a woman to be the pastor if there aren't any men? Or do you think that a church should just go without any pastor? Okay, I would like to know your response to that. Thank you.
all right, Miss Women's Liver Nancy. How's that? That's your play now. Well, in first place, and we've got a few minutes, and we're going to have the break, so we'll probably have to go on the other side of the break with this. But in the first place, part of what's going on in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, is you have to remember that the setting in many of these churches was different than we have today. Oftentimes, the women sat on one side of the room, men sat on the other side of the room. A couple times, I've had the opportunity to visit a synagogue, and I noticed that in the synagogue you'll see oftentimes women sitting on one side and men sitting on the other. And remember, in the setting here, a lot of these early churches, the people that formed them, particularly the Jewish believers, they came out of that culture with the synagogue. And so you'll have the husband sitting on one side of the room, the wife sitting on the other side of the room, and the wife, if she's shouting to her husband on the other side of the room, what's he mean by that? What is that supposed to, how are we supposed to listen to that? You know, it causes disruption in the church because he's over there, she's over there. And so that's part of the context there. You know, she's supposed to wait until she gets home and talk to her husband about it rather than, you know, in the middle of the service. So, and there is other things, and this is also in the context of speaking in tongues, which is dealt with in a large way here, where it talks about the proper usage of speaking in tongues in the churches in Paul's day, and, you know, by two or three, and that by course, there had to be an interpreter present, and the reason in verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints, and then let your women keep silence in the church. Churches is not permitted for them to speak. Right in the context of speaking in tongues, the suggestion there is that this has a lot to do with speaking in tongues, that the women are not weren't supposed to be speaking in tongues in the church either. Miss Liber Nancy here, you know, put you in your role that you're playing. A lot of the very same people who advocate for women speaking in tongues are the same ones that advocate for women preachers. But when you get to 1 Timothy and chapter 2, okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2, now I'm just reading the scripture. I did not write this. I did not make this up. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array, which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women or the woman learn in all silence, or in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, the idea of being the pastor of a church and preaching in the church is you're teaching and exercising authority over the people in the church. And so this is one area where we would see a clear prohibition against it. And then he goes in to give the reasons for that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. But for those reasons, we'll have to come back because we got a break coming up right now. So if you hold on, we'll get to the reasons why Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority or men in the church. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, thank you.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about us there, and you can find out more about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and we'll have information about that again through the program there. But just to give you an invitation to come, we're midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off 77, nearer 77 and 271 Cross at 4174 Wheatley Road, and we meet in a commercial suite, Suite 200. So if you're looking for a building with a steeple, you're not going to find us. But if you're looking for a commercial strip with different places and you look for our door, you'll find us, 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. That's basically the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road, right near 271 and 77. And we'd love to have you come out and visit us sometime. Of course, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield is our primary sponsor, and we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. That's 4889 Turney Road, East Coast Pizza. Give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you give them a call, let them know you heard about it here on Live with Pastor Al. And also mention that if you are interested in having your own pizza business or adding pizza to a restaurant that you may currently have or something like that, or some business where you offer some food, call Gus at East Coast Pizza. That's Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask him how you can get set up in your own pizza business, not a franchise, be your own business. And that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Give them a call, 216-341-9100. All right, we're getting back to our program here. We were talking with Nancy before going into the break, and Nancy was playing the devil's advocate for us tonight. And so... So we've got the anti, maybe I'll put it this way, rather than Liber Nancy, we'll go the anti-Nancy. How's that? Is that better?
Oh, okay.
The anti-Nancy's on the phone with us tonight. And so she asked a question, and kind of playing devil's advocate, about the idea of women pastors. And we took a look at there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe, is where we started about women keeping silent in the church. And then I had gone over to 1 Timothy, where Paul addresses this very subject in 1 Timothy. And he has said in verse number, well, in chapter 2, I should say, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where he says... And I'll read this again, where he says, starting verse 9, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." And in order to preach and pastor in a church, you are teaching and exercising authority over the people who are there. And so this would be one of the reasons why we do not have women preachers and pastors in our independent Baptist circles. It's because, well, they're not to teach or usurp authority over the man. Say, well why? Well, first place, that's what the Bible says. I did not write this. Our church did not write this. The Apostle Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And, you know, he later said over in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy in chapter 3, he said, "All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And so this is here for our instruction. And so this is it. I mean, we can accept it, but God didn't leave it there. He gave us some reasons, and that's where we left off going into the break. I said, we'll have to come back out of the break to get the reasons that's given. And here's the reason. It starts in verse number 13. This is the reason. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. That's reason number one, okay? Adam was first formed. God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. Then he formed Eve later. Remember, Eve was formed out of the rib, out of the side of Adam, to be a helpmeet for Adam. Okay? So that's reason number one. Reason number two is in verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, this is an important part here, too, because Adam, when he disobeyed God, he made a clear choice. He was not deceived. He was not under the spell of the devil, beguiled or anything like that. Bible elsewhere talks about Eve being beguiled, you know, literally under the spell, in a sense, of the devil. And so she was deceived. She was taken in. And so I guess other than the fact that Adam was created first, we also have the fact that because Eve was deceived by the devil, then this is another reason why they were not permitted to teach or usurp authority over the men in the church, okay? So this, in a sense, you know, could chalk it up to the curse. Now, having said all that, this does not deny for a moment that some women are excellent Bible teachers and have greater understanding of the scriptures than some men. And
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, there's I would dare say there's probably some pastors out there who would say that their wife is probably the better student of the Bible than they are. And so, you know, we see that. So being female doesn't mean you can't understand the scripture. Being female doesn't mean that you have no ability to do certain things. It's just that this is what God gave us. This is the situation. Again, I did not write this. This is given by inspiration of God. And so I have to say, well, I believe God inspired that, or I don't. And if I don't, then now I pick and choose what in the scriptures I want to believe. And so so now there's more to it than that, even. There's more to it than that. And the other thing that I would add to it is it has to do with lines of authority. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul starts out writing here in verse 1, where he says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I delivered them to you." And then he says this in verse 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, this is a statement that can easily be glossed over if you don't stop and think about it for a moment. In this statement, there's a line of authority established. The line of authority, and I'll start with the end of verse 3 and work backwards through. The line of authority goes from God to Christ to the man to the woman. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. So the woman is under the authority of the man, and the man is under the authority of Christ, and Christ is under the authority of God. In this case, it would be God the Father that's we're talking about here. So let me ask you a question. Is God the Son inferior in any way to God the Father?
Absolutely not.
Correct. Correct. That's the correct answer. So does that mean that women are in any way inferior to men? No.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Yeah,
excellent.
They are no more inferior to men than Jesus, God the Son, is inferior to God the Father. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit are co-equal. They are not inferior one to another, but there is a line of authority in the Godhead. Remember Jesus, I'm going through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings at our church, and Jesus is frequently, we're in chapter 8 right now, and Jesus is frequently talking about how the things that he says and does are the things that the Father told him to say and do. He didn't do things on his own. He did what he was sent to do. And so Jesus was operating under the authority of the Father. Now, I was in the military. When I left the Air Force, I was a sergeant. So I was a non-commissioned officer. I had a certain measure of authority as a sergeant. Now, there's also commissioned officers. Originally, I had planned to be a commissioned officer, and for convoluted reasons that I don't have to go through everything right now, I went in enlisted, and then I was going to become a commissioned officer later, but God intervened, called me into the ministry, and I left the Air Force so I could go into the ministry, something infinitely better. And but had I stayed in, my intent was to become a commissioned officer. Well, in the non-commissioned officers, you know, you can work your way up to being a chief master sergeant, which is, you know, you've been around a while. When you're a chief master sergeant, you've been around a while, you know a thing or two. But a second lieutenant, fresh out of officer training, coming on to your into your base and in your line of you know, authority, that second lieutenant who doesn't know a thing outranks that chief master sergeant in terms of authority. The chief master sergeant has to put himself under the authority of some kid who doesn't know much of anything. Now, if that if that kid is smart, he will listen to that chief master sergeant and learn from him. If he's stupid, he won't. He'll make a lot of mistakes, and you know, he'll hinder his own ability to serve. Now, again, everybody's under some line of authority. I had another sergeant over me who had another sergeant over them. We had the officers over us. The officers had all the way up to the Secretary of the Air Force over them. The Secretary of Air Force was under the Secretary of Defense, who was under the Commander-in-Chief, which was, thankfully, at that time, President Ronald Reagan. And then the Commander-in-Chief was under what? He was under the authority of the United States Constitution, wasn't he? You see the lines of authority? And and because of that, the second lieutenant had greater authority than the chief master sergeant. Didn't mean he was better. Didn't mean he had more knowledge or experience. It just meant lines of authority have to be established so that things can function properly. We saw it in 1 Corinthians 14. God is not the author of confusion. God is an orderly God, and we see it right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, where he says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." There's the lines of authority. The authority flows from God the Father to God the Son to the man to the woman. And that that really reflects the order of the creation there, because God the Father came up with the plan. God the Son carried out the plan and created the world and created Adam. And then God gave Adam Eve, created Eve, to be a helpmeet to Adam. So he had the authority there from God, God the Father, God the Son, Adam, and then Eve. And that's the same line of authority that he gives to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me go back to something that you did ask about earlier. Well, what if you had a church and there was no man there to be the pastor? Well, let me first give it an easier one to understand. What if there was only a woman there who was saved and knew the Bible and had the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, to be able to share, you know, how to be saved with somebody who's a man who's unsaved? Should she just sit there and say, "Well, I have to be in silence. I shouldn't say anything." No, she is the only Christian there. Okay, as a sergeant, I was under the authority of the officers, of the commissioned officers. But here's one of the ways, it's kind of the neat things about the way our military operates, which gave us an advantage over others. In many parts of the world, if you take out the commissioned officers, the non-coms are not allowed to make decisions. And you can destroy the cohesiveness and the effectiveness of the opposing force by neutralizing the officers. The genius of the American military system is that if you knock off all of the, you knock off the general, there's going to be a colonel ready to take his place. You knock off the colonel, there's going to be a lieutenant colonel waiting. You knock him off, and all the way down to that second lieutenant, you knock off the second lieutenant, there's a chief master sergeant waiting to take his place. And if you knock off all the sergeants all the way down to the lowly sergeant that I was, I would get to take charge. And if you knocked me off and there's no non-coms left, guess what? The highest-ranking senior airman would take charge. And if you knock him off, then the highest-ranking airman first class would take charge. You know, it just keeps going down, but we always are supposed to go to the highest authority in our chain of command. And so if you get rid of the man in that setting, and again, we're talking about reaching somebody with the gospel here, the woman has to take that opportunity to share the gospel in that case because there's nobody left. Now, generally in a church setting, that's rare that that's going to be the case when there's only going to be a woman. If there's no men and she's exercising some kind of teaching and preaching and she's only speaking to women because there's no men, so that's kind of a moot point.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's different.
But if there's men present, then just like that first or second lieutenant may not be near as experienced and knowledgeable and qualified as that grizzled chief master sergeant is, that second lieutenant's in charge. But if that second lieutenant's smart, he's going to listen to that chief master sergeant. And so I would say that there has to, you know, the lines of authority, if there's a man present, he should be in charge. But if he's smart, he's going to listen to some of the women in the church that know a thing or two more than him. Hey, I'm a pastor of a church, and there are times where I have to say, you know what? I'm going to listen to some of the women in the church because they have a little more experience or a little more knowledgeable, a little more expertise in some of these areas than what I have. And I take it under advisement. Remember, Eve was created as the help meet, a helper for Adam. She was not the decision maker, but as a helper, she contributed. She probably was there to give advice, to give a second opinion, to maybe provide information that maybe Adam didn't know about. But she had to defer to Adam as the one who had the authority to make the final decision. And that's the same thing in the military. So I look at it from a military standpoint, you know, having been in the Air Force, you know, you're under authority. And we understand there's lines of authority. That second lieutenant, though he may be dumb as a box of rocks, he does have authority greater than the chief master sergeant because he's a commissioned officer. And so lines of authority are observed in order that things can be done decently and in order in the military and in the Lord's church. So if nobody wants to listen to the second lieutenant who's been given orders perhaps by the captain or the colonel or major or somebody and told to pass these orders down for the sergeants to carry it out, and they don't listen to him, well, then things break down pretty quickly. You can't accomplish that which is necessary. And certainly they should pray that God would bring in the person that they need. So anyway, that's kind of my thoughts on that.
That's excellent.
Yeah, and we can't let exceptions make the rule. Sometimes in things like the woman being the sole person to be a witness and a testimony to lead somebody to Christ that's not saved, who happens to be a man, you know, say they're shipwrecked on an island and she's the only person that knows the gospel. Well, okay, there's nobody else who can do it. She needs to step up and do it. But that's the exception, not the rule. So,
absolutely. And can I want to say one thing? Okay. You have totally convinced me. I am going to drop out of my wonderful Women Liberals Club, and I'm going to share with them what you've told me about the lines of authority, that women are not inferior to men, just like Christ is not inferior to God. And I took copious notes, and I'm going to share at my last meeting, and then I'm going to drop out.
Well, you're no longer going to be Auntie Nancy. You're going back to real Nancy again. And I got to let you know that on my screen here, You know, we've got Auntie Nancy listed there. So,
we will
change you back to real Nancy, no longer Auntie Nancy. I appreciate that. I'm glad I was able to convince Auntie Nancy to become real Nancy. Look, it happened just like that. It's updated.
Well, thank you very much. That was
Of course, that's Kenny in there. He's exercising control. What's that?
This has sort of bothered me over the years, but I just had slight doubts. But you have totally convinced me. I took really good notes. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, absolutely. And again, it's the scripture. We have to live with it.
Right.
And this is what God has given us to do. So I appreciate the call and the patience in allowing me to go through it. So.
Oh, thank you. Very informative.
Well, thank you, Nancy, no longer Auntie Nancy. And appreciate the call tonight. God bless. Have a good week coming up here. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to be taking a break before the second hour starts. We've got Terry waiting patiently for us. And I think we'll have to hold if Terry can wait until the start of the next hour. That'll make it a little easier because we've got some commercials and things like that. And if we start right now, nobody will know what we're talking about when we jump back in the next hour. But you are listening, as I said, to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And let's see, we got 2 minutes, I think, before the break. I want to go back to something that I mentioned with Nancy / Auntie Nancy there as we were talking. And that is, I wanted to bring up that prayer for House Bill 68 veto override vote in the Ohio Senate. That is coming up this Wednesday. And so that makes it, let's see, today's the 21st, so that would make it, what, the 24th, I believe. And I don't know yet what time the vote is, but I was down there for the House vote, and the presence of the LGBTQ trans activists and such that were there was not as... You know, there just weren't as many as we expected. Everybody expected a lot more. So there's a little concern going into this vote coming up on Wednesday. Were they kind of holding back, waiting to see what would happen? Because this is, you know, as I said, it's for all the marbles, basically. The future of House Bill 68, the SAFE Act, all depends on what happens in Columbus this coming Wednesday. If the Ohio Senate does not vote to override the governor's veto, it's dead. It's gone. And children are still at risk of being forced into the pipeline, the transgender pipeline, and also boys that pretend to be girls can go on to the women's sports teams and steal scholarships and things and all that. But if it passes, if they override the governor's veto, then in 90 days, the SAFE Act will go into effect here in Ohio. So it's vital. Pray for the SAFE Act and the Senate here on Wednesday. Stay tuned. We got another hour to go.
Recently, the British crown passed from Queen Elizabeth to King Charles. America has no monarchy. We have a constitutional republic. Our sovereign is we the people. President Reagan said in 1983, "The founding fathers understood that only by making government the servant, not the master, only by positing sovereignty in the people and not the state, can we hope to protect freedom." But who advises the sovereign? President Coolidge answered in 1926, "The principles of human relationship which went into the Declaration of Independence are found in the texts, the sermons, and the writings of the early colonial clergy who were earnestly undertaking to instruct their congregations in the great mystery of how to live. Today's pastors should follow the example of their colonial forefathers, reminding us that God is the highest power and government officials are the lesser. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Let's make government subject unto the higher powers again.